All right, let me just confirm. Jed, are you with us?
I am.
All righty. We are set and ready to roll for our Media Biz Power Hour, an educational opportunity for those of you in media sales, whether you're selling ads into print, your newsletter, your website, whether your circulation is free, paid, or controlled, you are in the right spot. Over the last 25 years, we've hosted educational opportunities just like this. This may be one of those moments at the start of our educational teleseminar today to just pause and recognize that when we finished up last month, we could never maybe have imagined where we are this month. Let's not skip over the issues of coronavirus, your good health, your family, your children working remote, our advertisers, our ad agencies, our media buyers. Everything has been completely upset. Is a challenge. We're all navigating it in a new way. We just did not want to begin our teleseminar today without at least acknowledging that and realizing that there is an element of stress, an element of strain that you're feeling. Jed and myself are feeling it. For those of you that we work with, we've been way out front and talking and communicating literally through last week, through this weekend, and through this week. It's been one of the more challenging and most challenging times. But we also have a belief and an understanding that in a medical situation, that this will have a beginning, middle, and end. For those of you that were part of the economic challenges and were media sales back in 2008 through 2012, that was purely an economic and took months and months and years to unravel that. A very, very different time. That sort of looked like a bell, the way it went up, and then it worked its way out. This particular situation feels like and looks like Mount Everest. It is very sharp, very sudden for all of us, very sharp and difficult as we're all navigating it, including those who are your advertisers, and is going to be sharp on the other side in terms of coming out of it, but it will be far, far shorter than what we experienced back in 2008. I think, again, even almost real-time, Jed, the economic side looks like more than $1 trillion coming in on the U.S. side, close to $1 trillion in Europe, a big financial path and plan in Canada. We're watching all of this. All of this is real time, and we really could not begin the start of our teleseminar with at least acknowledging that, addressing it, and it's almost minute by minute, day by day, moment by moment as we're going forward. We truly believe in the power of advertising. We certainly believe in the power and path of print advertising and the results, which is why we're doing part two here today. The capsule, last month we did a very powerful and incredibly successful teleseminar titled Print Ads and Your Valuable Audience Equals What? Unmatched Ad Results. And Jed just rolled and rolled and rolled with stats and data and information. But we had 7 pages of questions, and there were so many questions we couldn't possibly answer all of them. So as a result of that, we came back around to do part two. And so, Jed, in our 15-plus years working together, we've never done a part two until today. And I know that you've taken and we've taken all the questions, organized them by topic, and there are some that directly relate to the current crises and the current state of where we are. So why don't we start with this first one from Aaron in Arkansas that says, how do we sell during uncertain times and deal with advertisers who want to cancel their ads? Let's go ahead and start right there, Jed, if we could.
I echo a lot of the, you know, everything you said. You know, we wish the best of health to everyone out there, and our sincere hope that obviously this is a speedy, you know, this is faster than anyone thinks in terms of recovery. So really trying times, right? Really difficult, uncharted territory here, you know. And when I saw Aaron's question from Arkansas, you know, I'm not sure that anyone really has an answer, right? I mean, how do you sell and how do you keep revenue coming in, you know, given what's going on out there, when so many of the businesses that publications depend upon are being directly impacted. And it's a, you know, we would be lying, or at least I would be lying, if I told you that, you know, that I had some sort of, you know, silver bullet for it. Because, because there's two components to it, right? There's both the advertiser slowdown and also the, you know, the consumer slowdown. And consumers have completely changed their buying habits overnight, which is, you know, next to impossible to sort of to anticipate and to deal with. So, you know, the only thing, you know, I talk to a lot of publications, and you know, and many of the ones that I'm speaking to are, you know, are trying to position themselves as sort of a conduit between these businesses that are suffering, that are shutting down, and consumers who are scared, right? And who need information, who want, you know, want to make the best of the time ahead. I had a slight phone problem there. I'm trying to make the best of the time ahead, and you know, and so to the extent that they can serve as a conduit, right, and serve as a pathway from one to the other, you know, I think that's just such a valuable service. And obviously, mm-hmm. you know, it goes without saying, the information that's being provided by local publications is irreplaceable and perhaps more important now than ever before.
Mm-hmm. And Jed, if I can just insert, there is no doubt a need to have empathy, to understand what's happening in the world of our advertisers, our ad agencies, our media buyers. And by the way, those are the same things happening to you and your family, right? As you're juggling your spouse, work remote, children, they're not in school. We are all juggling that piece. But also recognize that, you know, the reminder words of remember that other advertisers are still advertising, right? There's that piece. Remember the wonderful results you've been driving for those particular advertisers, right? And then on the other piece is that, hey, you're here to help. We're here to help you. We're here to continue to support your advertising endeavors in the spirit of that as we come out to the other side, as the financial packages are coming in, that we're all going to see this in a new way, in a new day. We want to keep and continue that momentum from that perspective. Eric in Arizona also, you know, talking about increasing sales in this place. The first piece we need to do is what? Close the back door and ensure that our current advertisers are okay. I mean, just the kindest of note or a text or a drop-in, you know, if that were appropriate, you know, depending on who your advertisers are, touch base and just see how they are, quite honestly, okay? Just focusing on that piece to ensure that they're tracking along, their families are okay. I mean, you know, there's all kinds of ways that we're seeing lots and lots of support from that perspective. Kirsten in Minnesota, Jed, wanted to ask a little bit about categories, where those sort of increased opportunities are. Do you want to share some of the words related to that for Kirsten?
Sure. I mean, just real quickly, going back to Eric's question, you know, one of the things which I think is so important, you know, during this type of these types of uncertain times is maybe sort of redefining what it is that success means. You know, maybe success doesn't mean what it meant 3 months ago. It doesn't mean, you know, increasing revenue issue over issue, but maybe success means, you know, like Ernest alluded to, you know, keeping your old advertisers in place or getting you know, building your readership, right? Building the extent to which in which your readers are depending upon your publication. And you know, I just think success is sort of a different thing. I mean, it's tough to sort of take the same metrics that applied and apply them to today. But getting to Kirsten's question about what sort of industries to stay away from, you know, it's sad, but it's almost comical. Prior to the outbreak of the coronavirus, we had a really great advertisement going for YMT Vacations for cruises to Italy. So, you know, that's an example.
I actually got a Princess Cruise Line direct mail catalog about 2 days ago. And, oh, yeah, yeah, right?
Yeah, I know. It's sad, but it's, you know, you got to look at the comical side of things. But anyway, you know, to Kirsten, you know, what we've been seeing here, and I'm sure that this is not, you know, we're not breaking new ground when I say this stuff. A lot of people have thought of this, but you know, we've seen an enormous demand in the rise for for internet service providers. We run a couple campaigns for a few different nationwide internet service providers, and they've had they've been swamped. Also, sort of any sort of food service that is home delivery has become instantly popular. Even if even it appears as though people are just sending food packages to some of their loved ones. So, a lot of you probably have in your neighborhoods businesses that do that, whether it's an edible arrangement or whatever it may be. I mean, those types of businesses are have really taken off. In terms of businesses that haven't, it's tough. I mean, things that require home visits can be difficult. We've seen that in many cases. Anything dealing with seniors also can be challenging at this time, because there's just so much concern about the health of seniors.
Mm-hmm. And that is a valid point. Although for those of you that sell ads for, provide ads for those on the senior housing or senior lifestyle side, especially those who eminently need some kind of decision related to facility, depending on where they are, that moves along. Things that are healthcare related, those pieces move along. Even home improvement, right? In that particular category, someone says, gee, I'm off the road. I'm going to work remote for the next month. Maybe it's time to finally go do that patio I was thinking about, or maybe it's time to work on my landscaping, or in other words, a lot of those home-based, home-related. Even if it was a company that does cabinetry or new kitchen remodeling, even those kinds of things could be some of those home areas that could also be of interest from that perspective. So we do see certain categories that are continuing forward, some that we even anticipate an uptick. And then remember, we are eminently close to what looks like some governmental support and intervention, not just in the United States, across Canada and around the world. So I think we can all take a look at that piece as well. Let's shift gears and talk about, there was a question from Roy in New Hampshire. Jed, do you want to address that one?
Sure. So Roy asked, and I think it's an interesting question, as it applies to, Roy asked it prior to the sort of the coronavirus becoming as big a crisis as it is today, but I think it really applies, and so I put it next on the list. And he said, we have a loyal audience. What can we teach our audience to do to identify that they are responding to ads from our publication? And I think that this sort of gets to the idea of a publication sort of serving a role in a community and really asking its readers to participate in that community, right? And you do that through content, you do that through the ads that are provided, but the entire package sort of, gives your readers insight into your community or the niche that you're covering, in ways that other media outlets really can't. One of the things that we've done at MediaBids along these lines of trying to get readers to participate because of who it's benefiting is we've started a program with press associations around the country where we give a percentage of everything that we spend with them We give a percentage, an additional percentage to their programs that help support journalism. So they have, most press associations will have journalism sort of enrichment programs. Some of them are in the form of internships that are, you know, given to college kids. Some of them are continuing education classes, you know, that type of thing. And in other cases, it's just the press association is helping to actually fund and supplement the journalism that's going on in, you know, in their area. So we've seen an uptick. We've seen that readers respond when we say to them, this ad is going to benefit, you know, these causes. You know, we've found that readers, you know, respond favorably to that. And so, you know, it seems a little bit, you know, at times when you state that in an ad, you know, it can seem a little gratuitous, but it's a fine line. And I think as long as you sort of believe in the cause that you're helping to support, you know, it can work well.
Mm-hmm. So as we're rolling along, again, we're working from the questions that came in from this month, coupled with the follow-up from the 7 pages of questions last month. Simply hit reply to the confirmation that brought you here, and we'll keep working those in. And Roy, we're hoping that's helpful. Kirsten, Eric, and also Aaron from that perspective. Let's make a transition here and talk about the mechanics of tracking, which is an extension from last month. George in Oregon asks, how do you get your stats regarding print ad success? Can we talk about that, Jed?
Sure. So you know, for those of you who may not have been on the call last month, you know, what MediaBids does that is perhaps different than anyone else is we track the results that come in from thousands of print advertisements around the country and in Canada, around the U.S. and in Canada. And so what we're doing is we're running tens of thousands of ads a week, you know, oftentimes as many as 20,000 ads in a single week. And then what we do is we put a unique phone number into each one of those ads or a unique URL, and then we're gathering the data that comes from those ads, right? So we can see how many phone calls were generated, how many how long someone spent on the phone, where someone is calling from, whether they're calling from the geographic area that the publication is within, or whether they're calling from a farther, you know, more far flung area. We can see, you know, on the URL side, you know, we get a little bit less data about the individual person, but we can see how many people are going to the URL, how long they're spending there, how many times they, you know, they click through to different links, and then ultimately if they provide any information or make a sale. So this is really basic stuff, but I wanted to take George's question early because to just sort of make it clear to everyone kind of, you know, where we get a lot of our information and why we think that tracking is just so important will become like a theme in all of this, you know, and it's been a theme for, you know, it's been a theme for us for, you know, for 10 years, you know, and I think Ernest as well, you know, it really provides incredibly valuable insights into what's going on out there. And it's the one thing that print is very, very bad at, right? I mean, print, you know, as an industry, as a group, right, print publications have never sort of taken it upon themselves to gather and provide this information to advertisers, which kind of leads into Faith from North Carolina's question when she asked, how can I deal with the statement from customers that they cannot track ad response? And that's exactly right. And I think Faith from North Carolina hit it on the head, right? Advertisers are horrible at tracking ad response. You should never trust an advertiser that tells you they're tracking ad response because the methods that they use to track are extremely unscientific and extremely unreliable, right? So if in most cases, and I'm sure that everyone on this call has dealt with someone like this, you say to them, how did the ad work that they just ran in your publication? And they say, I didn't get anything. And you say, how do you know? And they say, well, you know, Joe at the front desk asks everyone who calls why they're calling. And that's how I know. And it's a completely unreliable method of gathering information. I'm going to give the quick example that I've given in a couple other teleseminars, but just because it fits here and it's so shocking. We did a test with ProFlowers where we asked, we had the operators ask where someone was calling from and why they were responding to what ad they were responding to. And even though the only way for that caller to reach that operator was by dialing a number in a print ad, still about 50% of the people who called told the operator that they saw the ad on TV, which is just, you know, one of the most infuriating things that I've ever had to listen to. But the point is, for consumers, they are not investing the same sort of they don't have the same sort of exact way of responding to that question that you and I would hope, right? So the only way mm-hmm. to get data and to provide information to advertisers is for publications to do it themselves. Every other medium, right, that you're now competing with, social media, online, whether it be banner ads or search ads, you know, whether it be, you know, even in many cases, television and radio, they are providing that data to advertisers, right? You are missing out if you're not gathering that data or making an attempt to anyway, and providing it to advertisers to show them how they're doing rather than to take their word for it in how they think they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's also, which we've talked about in other teleseminars, that's also about how we set expectations, right up front, to know what do they measure, how do they track, what kind of media sources are they utilizing, what does that bring in terms of the results, how do they track an online lead, how do they track someone who calls today but actually walks in tomorrow, which actually follows up a week from now. There's all of those questions that get asked up front. Therefore, you're setting expectations, which means you're also, from a media sales perspective, able to talk about cost per call, cost per lead or prospect, cost per transaction or sale, which also gets you to what? Return on investment. All of those things work and weave together from that perspective. Let's shift gears. Todd from Iowa, we're working our way through these questions, wants to talk yep. about overcoming objections, right, regarding advertisers who are happy with instant gratification from social media posting. And I just want to make a comment about instant gratification on that. It is really a challenge to utilize social media and be seen unless you're paying a premium for that. So if we roll the clock back 3-4 years ago and you were a business and you made a post because you had, you know, shoelaces to sell or vacuums to sell or a visa to sell, you had a lot of buzz and there was a lot of activity. All that got throttled down by Twitter, by Facebook, by Instagram, by LinkedIn. They've all shifted their algorithms to what? You got to pay to play every step of the way. So for those who believe they're, quote, out there on social generating instant results, we see that in a very limited way unless you're buying ads. And even if you're buying ads, starting with LinkedIn and Facebook, a very, very small percentage of those are responding. Hence, your advertisers are having to spend lots more to get the impact on that side. Jed, your comments for Todd?
Yeah, I mean, this is, you know, this sort of goes to the heart of the matter, you know, because so many advertisers are using social media. You know, I think that that there's a clear path for publications to compete with social media with any advertiser who's paying attention. And I think that you try to fight this idea of instant gratification through social media by providing instant gratification, by basically showing advertisers the same thing that they're getting from social media. So a social media platform has a really cool dashboard that you can go to and see exactly how much you've spent and how many people have clicked on it. You know, publications can do the same thing, maybe not in as fancy and whiz-bang kind of way, but in terms of the actual data that's being provided, there's absolutely no doubt that publications can do the same thing. I think that you can fight this process by following some really basic steps, many of which you're probably already doing. But, you know, the number one thing that we do here when we're talking to a new advertiser is to define the expectations of what that advertiser is looking for. So we want to know, what is it they're trying to do with their advertising? Are they trying to just remind people that they exist? Are they trying to make a sale? Are they trying to, you know, to get a different kind of customer than they normally do? Is it a new product or service? What's their expectation? And what, you know, define success. Would it be successful if they got 10 phone calls or they got 20 phone calls? And in order to define that kind of success, the second step is to define the conversion rate that they expect. So, you know, if someone is selling swimming pools that cost $50,000, if they get one call, it's probably a pretty good ad. If someone's selling flowers and they cost $19.99, you know, and they only get one call, it's not necessarily a good ad. So, you know, you need to understand the conversion rate that they expect. Most advertisers will be able to tell you, or should be able to tell you, what their conversion rate is, right? They'll be able to tell you, look, if I get 10 people to walk in the store, I get 10 people to give me a phone call, you know I can make 3 or 4 sales out of those 10 people. So that sort of conversion rate information is something that most advertisers have already thought about. Step 3, sort of along those same lines, is to define the value of what they're selling. Because, you know, as I alluded to earlier, the different products and services have obviously different values and therefore different expectations, different conversion rates. And then you track the results, right? By tracking the results, you're able to go to them and say, you got 10 phone calls, congratulations, I got you 3 sales. You know, I mean, it's a much, much different conversation and a much more pleasant one, I believe, than depending on them and asking them how an ad did. Sort of, you know, going back to face question, right? It's you're providing data to them. You know, you can do, you know, we here at MediaBids, we're dealing with a lot of advertisers, so we do this a couple different ways. We give them, in addition to just sort of normal phone calls, we send out weekly emails that sort of provide them information about how their ad is doing and where it's performing well and where it's not. Once you have the results, you're able to evaluate how the ad is done. And you're able to make changes in either how it's being run. You know, it could be anything. It could be the size of the ad, location of the ad. It may be, and this is oftentimes the case, it may actually be the offer that's being provided in the ad itself, right? You know, so you may find that there's an offer that just doesn't resonate with your audience. You know, you may see, you know, what we do a lot of is we sort of keep an eye on what our advertisers are offering in other mediums, right? So we want to see kind of what their plan of attack is when they're trying to reach, you know, people in social media, when they're using Groupon, whatever it may be. We want to see what those offers are, compare it to ours, compare it to what's running in print, and then basically ask ourselves, you know, do we have the best offer, right? As a consumer, would I rather have the offer that's running in print, or would I rather have the offer that's running, you know, on Facebook? And, you know, and if the answer is Facebook, we call up that advertiser and we say, hey, we want that same thing, right? We want, you know, we want the 2-for-1 deal or whatever it may be. And advertisers, by and large, appreciate that, right? They want to know how to make their ads more successful. And if we can provide them some guidance in that, it's a conversation that they like to have. So I think that, you know, having the data gives you the ability to overcome the objections related to social media, because you're able to give them data. And the big key, right, the big selling point is what's your conversion rate like? What does it really cost you to generate a customer from print? You will, once you start tracking this information and once you get some data under your belt, you will find that in almost all cases, with the possible exception of advertisers who are focused on a much younger demographic than print can really compete with, you will find that print can deliver a customer at a far less price, at a much lower price than social media. Because while social media is great in the sense that it can get your ad in front of an enormous number of people and you can get a lot of clicks on it, the conversion rate from social media is for most campaigns less than 0.2%. So less than 0.2%. So it's 0.02% is what most campaigns will do on social media. That's for conversion rates. For print, for most of our clients, and this is true for everything from satellite television to expensive items like walk-in bathtubs and cruises, our conversion rate is somewhere, depending on the campaign, somewhere between 35 and 40% on almost all campaigns. That is an enormous difference, and it is by far the biggest advantage that print has, is that when consumers are responding from print, they know why they're responding. They are responding at a time that is convenient for them, right? Whether it be phone call or internet, they've done some reading about it. They've thought about it. They're not responding because something is flashing in front of them or because they heard a radio ad or a television ad. They're responding at a time that makes the most sense for them, and they're responding in a deliberate way. And that makes an enormous difference in terms of the conversion rate. So by gathering the data, by understanding what your advertisers' goals are, and then comparing it to how they're performing in social media, that's how you compete against social media. It's also how you compete against pay-per-click. It's how you compete against banner ads, television, radio, whatever it may be, right? You can compete against any medium by showing them that the consumers who are responding from your publication are more likely to buy, they're more likely to spend, and they're more likely to remain customers. Mm-hmm. There's no comparison between print and other mediums.
And we're hoping that Todd and Iowa, that's helpful, but so many of you had related questions. For example, John, you know, you wrote to us and said, you know, how do I sell print to non-believers? Listen to what Jed is sharing right here. Let's use that as a segue, Jed, to Gretchen in Mississippi, which is this piece about tracking readers who go straight to client websites via their smartphone, right? And we're not getting credit for that. Let's talk about that, if we could. That would be sort of an extension of what we've just been discussing.
Sure. I mean, I think that there's no magic answer to this. There's no one solution. You know, the best way to get people to use a unique URL or to use a phone number is to incentivize them to do so. Right, is to give them a special offer that is going to be unique to those response mechanisms. If you don't do that, if it's more of a branding ad, or if it's a general offer that is available through their website, then it's very hard. Right, it's you know, there's no you're not giving someone a reason why they should do that. But if there is an advantage as a consumer for someone to do that, then believe me, they will. Consumers will bend over backwards and go out of their way to try to make sure that they're getting the best deal. And if that means typing in an extension on a URL, they will do it. We've had a lot of success with form fills, where we will put a unique URL in an ad, and then that takes the reader to a form fill page where we're asking for some specific information about themselves, and we have some campaigns that get as high as about 40% of their total response will come through unique URLs, which is really, I think, fantastic, considering that it is a burdensome process, right? It is somewhat difficult to be able to, you know, to type in the URL off of the ad. So again, I think that the primary way of combating this problem, and I'm not trying to minimize the problem because it absolutely is a problem, but the primary way that we've come up with to try to minimize this problem is to make sure that you're incentivizing someone for responding to the ad specifically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you bet. And there's all kinds of research related to this that points to consumers. We all do. Like, for example, I might see a particular ad for a company that does roofs, Jed. And I go, let's see, that's called Jed's Roof Company. All right, well, I see the ad. I may need a roof. Okay, let me go online and see their website. Very logical piece. Let me take another step further. Let me go do some web searching for Jed's Roofing Company. Let me go see what the reviews say. Oh, okay, I like those two. That's very positive. Let me make the call. You're impacting their website. You're impacting their Google Analytics. So there's another level of validation, and it's important to have those stories. You go in and talk to an advertiser, you're talking to them by phone, and they go, oh, yeah, you know, how interesting. We just picked up a wonderful roofing job, and they came in from our website, but they also mentioned that they also saw the ad or even brought your publication in or also saw your digital ad as well. So this is, again, this part of, how to say this. In the earliest days when I began selling media, Jed, there was no tracking. There was literally no tracking with that ability. Then we moved to a stage where there was no internet. Tracking was nearly airtight, excluding like walk-in, right? And then all of a sudden we moved to today, which is almost where we used to be moons and moons ago, where it was very challenging from that perspective. So, Gretchen, thank you so much. And also, Kathy from California asked some very nearby questions, so we're hoping that answered your question. Melissa in Alaska also asked about social media advertising. Is that all I need? Certainly, we address that as well. Let's talk about Angelina in Maine. For those who say, I only advertise online. You want to address that one, Jed?
You know, I think what advertisers who say that are really saying is, I am adverse to the risk associated with how publications sell advertising. You know, I think really what they're saying. They're saying, I don't want to make a bet that my ad is going to work. I would rather run ads through Google or Facebook and only pay for the results that I get. Now, the results that they're getting might not work, right? The results that they're getting might not be worth nearly as much as the results that they would get through advertising in your publication. But but they don't know that, right? So essentially what they're doing is they're showing their ignorance about the different types of response that different mediums can produce. The advertising that they're doing through social media, I think that it's worth it to try to break it down, right? To try to understand what it is that they're actually spending. Some of this is stuff that you can do on your own. So, for example, you can go into Google AdWords and you can see what a keyword costs that advertiser is currently using, and you can see, okay, they're paying $7 a click, $8 a click, and then you can get some general stats, and I've given you some, but there are many that are available online of what the conversion rate is like for in many verticals. And so you can see, okay, the average number of people who click on a real estate ad, for example, and end up buying is, almost unmeasurable, right? It's like a thousandth of a percent. The one category that does really, really well online in terms of conversion is dating. It's as high as about 15% conversion rate. But, even a 15% conversion rate is still about half of what, you're seeing in print for a variety of different goods and services. So I would say that, when someone is telling you social media is all I need, they're telling you I don't like the risk associated with advertising in your publication. And what that means to me is you have not provided that advertiser who's saying that with enough data to make them realize that the risk in print advertising is actually far less than the risk associated with spending money day after day on social media.
Yeah, and Jed, you make a great point about knowing what that spend is, so that if you said, hey, if I'm a landscaper, if I'm an RV dealer, if I'm a senior center, if I'm a realtor, what is it costing? And we often notice that media teams don't know what that cost is. They don't even know what that competitor is, and we need to know side by side, which links back to what? Our side by side comparisons and the work that we do on that side to know who my competitors are, to know what their strengths are, to know what their weaknesses are, and we've run entire teleseminars related to that. So, Angelina, we hope that is helpful for you as well. Let's talk, Jed, take a minute, because John in Philadelphia talked a little bit about or asks about how does MediaBids attract national advertisers? And then obviously, how does that help provide revenue for publishers and publications in terms of the ads that you're placing with them? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure.
For John?
So, I mean, absolutely. I mean, what MediaBids does, I mean, so we are wholly devoted to driving revenue to print publications. We believe that print works better than any other medium, and we evangelize that to advertisers every day. Primarily what we're doing though is really not selling print publications to national advertisers as much as what we're doing is selling the audience that print publications have to national advertisers. We're telling national advertisers about the kinds of people that they can reach by using print, and the kinds of conversion rates that they can expect by using print. And honestly, we could have 10 times the number of advertisers that we currently have by the end of the month if we wanted to. But we turn away a lot of advertisers just because we don't think that they're right for print. It's not that they don't want to do it. It's that we don't think that they're right for print. We generally are looking for national advertisers who are not currently spending in print because we don't want to compete with local ad sales. So we're going after national advertisers who have stopped using print, but who are looking for the audience that print provides. By and large, we have found that print has a pretty unique audience. It tends to be older, right? It tends to be 50 and above. It tends to be people who own homes. It tends to be people who have, you know, the ability to make a purchase, right? They're the average salary of a print reader is much higher than the average salary of any other medium. We find that print readers tend to be invested in their community. They're probably reading your publication for reasons that are ultimately sort of selfish, right? They probably are worried about the schools, or they're worried about, you know, they're worried about taxes, or they're worried about the roads, whatever it may be. There's usually an issue that's getting them to pick up the publication and read it. So they tend to be more invested than other mediums. And this is the story we tell. You know, we tell advertisers every day about how print readership can drive, you know, unparalleled sales. What we do, because most of our advertising is response-based advertising, where we're saying to advertisers, you know, we'll run this ad, but you have to pay based on the response that's generated. We're doing research on what those same companies and what companies in that vertical are paying in other mediums. And then we're just multiplying, usually by something like 25. So if someone is paying, you know, if someone's paying $5 online, we want them to pay, you know, $125 for print, because that's what the conversion rates dictate, right? If they're able to pay someone, if they're able to pay Google $5 per click, then they should be able to pay print publications $125 per call, because we're generating more customers for them at $125 per call than they're generating through Google at $5 per click. We know that they're ultimately going to make more money as a result of using print publications to generate calls at $125, then they will generate customers at $5 through Google. We know this definitively. There is no question about it. And so that's what we say to advertisers, and that's why advertisers like it. You know, some advertisers don't believe us at first, so we'll run a test. We'll show them, right? We'll generate 100 phone calls mm-hmm. for them, and then we'll say to them, you know, look at that. You know, you generated 40, you know, 40 phone calls that lasted 10 minutes or longer, right? Mm-hmm. Out of the 100 that you received, and it can't compete, right? The only thing that print is able to generate customers that other mediums can't. The one thing that print can't do, right? The one thing that print is bad at is volume, right? So if someone is looking for 1,000 phone calls tomorrow, print is the wrong medium. But if someone's looking for, you know, 100 sales tomorrow, then print is the right medium. It really depends on sort of, you know, that's sort of the only reason why print, you know, the only way in which print falls mm-hmm. short. But again, it's because the people mm-hmm. who are responding tend to be very considerate. They tend to be very mm-hmm. deliberate.
Perfect. Let me field the question on the fly here. Trader in Arizona asks, are unique URLs the only way to flip a non-believer? Trader, there's a whole host of things, unique URLs, forms that get filled out for lead forms, for example, on real estate sites, apartment sites, where you'll come in and you'll actually fill out the form, a very measured lead that goes in, obviously phone tracking, case studies, testimonials, Google Analytics. There are so many other things that match up. And even the good old school, as you come in, as you walk in, wonderful that you're glad that you're here. Hey, gee, we have a couple of ads that we've placed. Have you actually seen these ads in print and or online and or in any newsletter? The actual good old-fashioned, old-school show and tell. So there's about 8 or 10 ways, Treyer, to do that. It's not just unique URLs. The key point is you have to find, A, what works for you, B, what it works for that potential advertiser, C, you have to identify their hot button and be able to specifically tailor your response. And of all in each of those 8 or 10 examples, you have to have all of them on your tool belt, so to speak. And if you have all of them, then you can field any objection. If you don't, that's a lost sale, and you may never get that sale because you didn't field that objection. Okay, we truly believe in all of our work with media clients and sales teams over the last 25 years, every single tool is on your tool belt. If I'm a carpenter and I'm approaching a house, gee, I've got a screwdriver, I've got a hammer, I've got a saw, I can take care of anything, and I don't want to have to walk up and say, gee, I didn't bring the nails, but I have the hammer. Guess what? I can't go to work today. Guess what? In media sales, you can't solve their needs unless you can show it and explain it and tell it from that perspective. Just before we wrap up here at the top of the hour, there was one additional question from Max in Pennsylvania talking about getting information on readers and readerships. You want to just say a few words about that, Jed, and then we'll wrap things up here at the top of the hour?
Sure. So, you know, this is more of an art than a science. I think that, you know, a good place to start is census data. Just, you know, the census provides, and obviously it's, you know, 10 years out of date now, and we hopefully we'll have a new census information coming up shortly. But you know, the census provides an enormous amount of information about average age within your sort of geographic readership area. You know, surveys are something that, you know, publications probably don't do enough of, just sort of asking their readers about their, you know, lifestyle preferences, you know, consumer habits, you know, that type of thing. You know, but more than anything, you know, we here at MediaBids, we really depend upon the results that are generated from an ad, because it's just shocking to sort of see the differences in how consumers react based on, you know, in some cases, geographic areas, in some cases, the type of publication that they're reading. You know, we find that there's an enormous difference in the types of ads that are responded to, based on all these factors. So, you know, for example, you know, we have a really hard time with direct response food products in the Northeast and California, but in the Midwest and the Southwest, you know, and in the Southeast, we do great. You know, response-based food products are one of our top sellers. So, you know, there's all sorts of little quirks, and I think that once you better understand how it is the results that your advertisers are getting, then you might be able to paint a better picture. Because gathering this data and getting this information is really, I think, where publications are headed, right? Publications need to be able to articulate what it is that their readership is likely to respond to. And if you're able to do that, that's more valuable than a lot of the information that publications sometimes give about their individual publication, which is also great. But if you can define what it is your readers are looking for, that's the holy grail.
Mm-hmm. You bet. And so let's pause right here. The kind of information that you're hearing from Jed and his team literally sit at a keyboard that all of us would be in awe of, watching literally millions and millions of inbound calls, tens and tens of thousands of ads that are placed across literally thousands and thousands of publications. He and his team are seeing all of it. And so whenever he comes to share, typically once a year, the kind of information, the stats, the data, it's like somebody, there's nobody else, Jed, that I know or the groups that I've ever seen with these kind of conversations and the intimate understanding of what's happening in media. Print ads work. Our job is to do what? Validate our working on that side. And there's lots of ways to do it. We build it through our presentation. We do it through our readership and engagement. We do it through all of our support tools that we back everything up in writing on the other side. And we use it, we use all of that with our what? Wonderful sales and selling skills to be nimble enough to be able to field an objection, to be nimble enough to understand what's happening related to you versus your competitors, and understanding what's happening in the media space. So as we wrap up our Media Bids Power Hour for this month, no doubt we will be back next month. We open this up, this teleseminar, recognizing that we are in a very different place than any of us could possibly have imagined. If myself or Jed can be of any help to you or your team, a question that you want to ask, something that we can provide in the way of support, we are always here. We have done this combined for more than 50 plus years. We understand media space. We understand newspapers, magazines, niche and specialty publications. We have seen the objections, seen the questions, and observed over and over a reoccurring theme. Don't build it alone. Don't feel like you're the only one to ever field that objection. There are constantly and consistently reoccurring themes in media. Once you understand how to handle those and work through those, it gets easier and easier. If you don't have everything in place, Lord knows, it's tougher and tougher. You are that carpenter coming up to a building site that thought you brought your hammer that day and only had your nails. And you pause and say, this isn't working. Or the opposite, have your hammer, don't have your nails, now what? Right? That's really the world of media. You have to have all the pieces in alignment. And as always, Jed, what a pleasure working here together. For those of you that are already working with Media Bids, you know the wonderful work they do. For those of you, if you have not, we encourage you to go to mediabids.com and then certainly my website, powerhour.com. We have all done this for a long time. We're here. We're a keystroke away. Jed, any closing words before we wrap up for this month?
Yeah, I just want to, wish everyone the best during these difficult times, and if there's anything that we at Media Bids can do to help, or if you'd like to talk more about any of the topics that we've discussed here today, please feel free to give me a call. I'm going to follow up with most of you who ask questions, just to, especially if we didn't get to them, just to try to touch on some of the things you asked. You asked mm-hmm. great questions, and we really, really appreciate all of the participation from all of you. It's encouraging to see so many publications looking towards making, positive changes and trying to make the most out of what are difficult, trying times. So,
yeah,
appreciate you being here and participating.
You bet. And to each of you and all of you, we will continue to anticipate and pray and encourage that we all stay healthy, you, those you love, and your children and your family. And as a civilization around the world, may we all navigate this very trying time and all do it together. Jed, thank you so much. And to each and all of you, we'll see you next month. Take care.
Thank you, everyone.